Good evening and welcome to episode number 15 of the Finger Lakes Golfer Podcast on FingerLakes1.com and FingerLakes1 TV, recorded live on Monday evening, September 22nd, 2014. I'm your host, Jim Sinacropi, and once again, I'm joined up here in the studio by my co-host, the Big Easy, Bob LaPrade.
Good evening, Jim.
Thanks for joining me up here again tonight, Bob, for the second to last time of the season.
Yeah, no, not a problem.
This is episode 15, and that means that there's only one more left. Well, just because it's episode 15, it doesn't mean it. But last week, we'll be in October next Monday. No, it'll still be September.
Yes.
So, you know, our last show of the season will be next Monday night. And then we're going to take a little hiatus. Who knows? We might have a special edition over the winter or something. But then we'll be back about Masters time in the spring. Oh, boy, won't that be great. A new season about to start.
Oh, yeah.
But right now, it's obviously pretty cold out. today was.
Yeah,
but
it was.
But not to worry. There's some good weather coming up here in the Finger Lakes for the rest of the week. Some great golf weather. And we're going to talk about the wonders of fall golf tonight. The best time of the year to play golf in the Finger Lakes while it lasts. And it's Ryder Cup week. We'll fill you in on the match schedule and talk a little bit about maybe some pairings that we might hope to see. Get you ready for the Ryder Cup. And we'll also recommend a great app to follow the action at Glen Eagles during Bob's Pick of the Week segment. We'll give you a whole 15 of our Finger Lakes Dream 18. And we'll help you stop sabotaging yourself with our Zen Tip of the Week. So, fall golf, real quick, top five things you like about fall golf. Five things?
Five things.
How about three?
Okay, we'll go with three. The foliage, the change, the scenery. The weather is usually pretty comfortable. And just knowing that it could be one of your last rounds of the year, trying to make the best of it, right?
Appreciate it, yeah. Yeah, obviously, up here in the Finger Lakes in upstate New York, the color change of the leaves are amazing. And, for a couple week period, you really are out there at the most beautiful time of the whole year to be outside for 4 hours on a golf course. And so that's a big part of it. The other thing is, you've played for a while now. It's been a long season, and, the short game shots are a little easier. You got that feel, and hopefully your game's in a lot better shape than it was back in May.
Mm-hmm.
So that's nice. You got a chance to shoot a couple rounds. There's tons of cash scrambles and tournaments like that, that you can get in, these one-day events. And so there's still a lot of competition to be had, so you can keep your game. I always like a nice tournament or two at the end of October because it helps you kind of keep your game, in shape through the end of October.
Right.
Which is nice. And it's a great time to travel because there's so many great scenic courses around the Finger Lakes. And like I said, you're going to see them with the bright, vibrant yellows and oranges and maroons as the leaves change. So one tip, though, for fall golf, if you're traveling, check, call ahead and ask if they airfied or when they're airfying.
Oh, right.
Because that can ruin a trip real quick. You get
a
course and they just airfied the day before.
Mm-hmm.
Or worse, they're airfying that day and they're shutting down holes as they go.
Right.
So, yeah, get out there. Get out there and play. It's going to be snowing before you know it, and you'll be longing for the days of maybe 58 degrees and sunny.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that you might think, oh, it's too cold to golf, but boy, that would be perfect in January.
Right.
So, Bob, we went to Turning Stone,
mm-hmm.
a group from Seneca Falls. There were seven of us. Unfortunately, we couldn't get eight, but we got seven Friday. Everybody took off from work, went to Turning Stone. Special shout out and thanks to head pro Eric Lorenzetti at Turning Stone. He really
Absolutely.
Took care of us and made it a great time. And you've played there before,
mm-hmm.
as have I. And give me three things. No, just tell me, your general impressions of it, of that facility and that day.
What comes to mind first is how pristine everything was.
Yeah.
How from tee to green, everything was just pristine. The greens were great. The tees were great. The service was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Hospitality, the whole nine yards. It's definitely worth the trip and the expense to go do that.
Yeah, it is expensive. They have a great deal there that you play the first course in the morning at full price, and then if you play a second 18, you get that round at half price. So we played the more expensive of the courses in the afternoon at Duño.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you that don't know, Duño is hosted PGA Tour events, and it hosts the NB3, the Nobegay Classic Invitational, I'm not sure which it is, every year. And the pros that play it say they're the best greens, you know, that they play, and the, you know, best condition course that they play. And they play a lot of nice courses.
Right.
So the neat thing about going to play at a Duño is that you're playing on a surface and a course that is you just can't get better.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you really can't. We played late day. There wasn't a lot of play, but it seems like the greens, may, while they were fantastic, weren't as good as they could have been.
Right.
But that's my only even minor gripe. The fairways are immaculate, and the tee boxes, for whatever reason, the tee boxes really stood out to me because they almost look like they're fake because they're so perfect.
Right.
And you like them. You don't like them because they're flat. You like to be able to.
Well, you know, I was joking when I said that. I'm just, I'm used to playing some tee boxes that may not be so flat.
And you also get to practice your sand game.
Oh,
you
yeah.
You know, shots from the sand trap when you're at Duño. We played Shenandoah in the morning, Duño in the afternoon. I think Shenandoah is more difficult. Duño is in better shape, even mm-hmm. though Shenandoah was world class.
Right.
As well. Yeah. It's hard. That's what I said to some of the guys that had never played up there after we played Shenandoah. I said, it's hard to believe that we're going to go to a golf course right now that's noticeably in better shape than the one we just left.
Yeah.
But it's true. So if you love golf, you know, you really should, you know, get yourself up there and get to experience that. It's awesome.
I think the deal we played on was called the Replay.
Yeah.
It's called the Replay.
Half price on your second,
mm-hmm.
second 18. And while we were up there, too, there was a frost delay. So Eric Lorenzetti gave us a little tour. You weren't with me at this point, though. I think some people went over during the frost delay, just walked across the street to the casino.
Yes.
And one of our guys won their greens fee money back.
Right. Yep.
Which is a great way to start the day.
Yep.
Eric took us to the golf dome. They have an amazing golf dome facility up there.
Yeah.
And they have a double-decker driving range. You know, you can hit full wedges in there
mm-hmm.
And not hit, like, the back net or anything. It's big.
Right.
You know, once you start hitting your mid-irons, you're hitting them into the back wall. Lots of targets out there, and they have a putting center. They're going to build an actual putting green, I guess, but indoor putting area.
Mm-hmm.
But they have tools to measure your launch angle and how square your putter head is and all that. They have golf simulators in there. And they even have their own, you know, snack bar, you mm-hmm. know, just for the golf dome in there. So now, speaking of fall golf leading to winter, now there's something we can do this winter is head up to the golf dome and hang out with Eric Lorenzetti and you know, swing some clubs and
get our putters checked
and tons of equipment. You know, they had tons and tons of equipment that you could test,
mm-hmm.
try, buy. And they had one of the neatest things was they had so many shirts without any logo on it, dirt cheap.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking like $20 for like a new Callaway. You know, last year's model Callaway, it just doesn't have any logo on it at all.
That's nice.
Except for the Callaway logo. It's not, doesn't say Turning Stone. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't have a logo on it, but really, you know, inexpensive. So, hey, if you like golf, it's great. A lot of people go up there for the, you know, the casino
mm-hmm.
and the resort or the, some of the other facilities there, but the golf's the best part, if you ask me. It's amazing. It's amazing that we have that available to us just an hour and a half away from Seneca Falls.
Absolutely.
That type of facility. So, again, thanks to Eric Lorenzetti for a great day, and the weather was absolutely perfect.
It was.
Now, who knows what the weather's going to be like this week at the Ryder Cup. Ooh. Had competition September 26th through 28th. That's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And for the first time since 1973 and for only the second in the history of the Ryder Cup, Scotland plays host to the event at the magnificent Glen Eagles Hotel in Perthshire. Now, the unfortunate thing, Bob, is that if you want to watch it live, you're going to have to get up at 2:35 a.m. Oh. Eastern Standard Time.
I'll be up.
You plan on doing it?
No. I have a hard time getting up for work.
I tell you, though, it's too bad, I think. Because even the golf majors now, you know, you can pipe them in on the old computer at work. And, mm-hmm. you know, you can watch them during the day. At work, which is kind of cool, and then you kind of get home and you watch it in prime time maybe, and before it gets dark, and then they replay it, and then you watch a call. This is the schedule. You got 4 ball matches on Friday, at teeing off at 2:35 a.m. Eastern time, and then you have 4 alternate shot matches on Friday at 8:15 a.m. Eastern, and then you basically repeat that on Saturday. Best ball match being both guys finish the hole, you take the best score. And alternate shot, obviously, is alternate shot.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Sunday, this 12 singles matches tee off at 6:26 a.m. So there's something that you might possibly view
mm-hmm.
If you're not golfing
right
yourself. So, you know, what are some of the things you're excited about? Give me 3 things.
Three things.
You're excited about the Ryder Cup.
Well, I think it would be...
Three things. Yeah, anything. It could be a player you're interested in seeing, potential match maybe.
Boy, I don't know. I just enjoy watching the matches. I mean, I'll try to stay away from the news during the day. And normally you have one of the networks carries a replay in the evening. So
yeah,
that's kind of when I catch the coverage.
Yeah, tough to do in this day and age.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so European captain Paul McGinley brings Rory McIlroy, Henrik Stenson, Victor, how do you say his name?
Dubuisson, I don't know.
Victor Dubuisson.
Something like
Jamie
that.
Donaldson, Sergio Garcia, Justin Rose, Martin Keimer,
mm-hmm.
one of your favorites.
He's a good putter.
Thomas Bjorn, Graham McDowell, Stephen Gallagher, Ian Poulter, and Lee Westwood.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Gallagher, Poulter, and Westwood being the captain's picks. United States led team by Tom Watson brings Bubba Watson, Ricky Fowler, Jim Furyk, Jimmy Walker, Phil Mickelson, Matt Kuchar, Jordan Spieth, Patrick Reed, Zach Johnson, Keegan Bradley, Webb Simpson, and Hunter Mahan. Bradley, Simpson, and Mahan being the captain's choices. And, you know, we're severe big-time underdogs. The U.S. is big-time underdogs, but I'm looking at this, these rosters and thinking, man, we got a pretty good team. We can't even pronounce this one guy's name.
Mm-hmm. Victor?
Yeah.
We'll call him Victor Dub.
And you really, obviously, Europeans are coming off of 2 straight wins. That's why, I think that's one reason why they're their favorites are the home team. That's another reason. And they have the number one player in the world in Rory McIlroy, which is another reason.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like the tables have turned. When we lost those Ryder Cups, we had Tiger Woods on the team. He didn't play too good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if you're... And actually, I heard Paul Azinger say something about this. He's the only guy to captain a winning Ryder Cup team for the U.S. this century.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Yeah.
He said that his strategy would be to try to figure out where Rory McIlroy is in the draw and try to put your hottest golfer against him and take him down.
And who is that? Who is that for the United States? Because it's a tough pick.
Oh, it's got to be the tour champion, right? He's got to be the hottest, but he's not on the roster.
No, he's not. So who would you pick? Who would you pick to go up against Rory?
Well, of course, you can't pick and say that this is the guy that's going to play Rory because it's a blind draw. The captains list their teams
I know. But if you
right,
had
if
to.
You were able to, geez, Ricky Fowler's playing pretty good. normally I think on this team the guy with the that seems to be the leader or that might should be the leader would be Mickelson.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that he's the guy to go against him either.
I don't either.
Maybe you let loose a Jordan Spieth, a young guy, let the two young guys battle it out. But yeah, looking at this team, I don't know who you'd go with.
I'd go with Fowler if I had to pick someone.
Yeah, I think that if I was my iron was to the fire, I'd pick Ricky Fowler too to play McIlroy. Now, who's Fowler usually team up with? Who do you think he's going to team up with? I know that Bubba Watson usually teams up with Webb Simpson, Keegan Bradley. You can probably expect to play with Phil Mickelson.
Probably Hunter Mahan, maybe.
Mahan and Fowler. Wow,
they're good. They're good buddies.
That's a good team too. And then, you know, Zach Johnson, and I wouldn't mind seeing a team of like Zach Johnson and Matt Kuchar.
Be a good mix.
Who do you put with Bubba? Who do you put with Bubba Watson?
It depends on the format, but you want someone who's probably Zach. I would probably put Zach Johnson with him.
Yeah, they're kind of opposites.
If you're playing scramble. Or maybe best ball.
Well, they aren't scrambling.
No?
No, just best ball and alternate shot. Then the same thing the next day, and then individual.
Mm. Yeah, I'd put with alternate shot, I think Zach Johnson would be a good mix. Of course, Bubba would have to hit some shots he's not used to hitting, distances.
Yeah, and the alternate shot portion, right?
Yeah.
Good point. Yeah, and then the European side, you know, I think it's a little tougher on the European side because the only thing that aligns these guys is that they're from Europe. They're from different countries, you know?
Right.
So I was really getting into watching some of the golf's greatest rounds on the Golf Channel, the Ryder Cup recaps, and I was watching Ole Sabel and Ballesteros were the toughest team, really ever that you could have. And, you know, both Spaniards. And that was pretty, cool to watch those guys. Of course, Seve Ballesteros no longer with us. But you look at this and, who do you put Sergio with? Sergio's not really a well-liked guy.
Yeah, one of the most passionate on there. Ian Poulter, a close second. As far as who they play with, that's a tough one.
Like, you don't put Rory together with Sergio, right? Or do you?
I wouldn't. I wouldn't.
I put Rory together with, maybe Lee Westwood or Justin Rose.
Westwood's a good one.
You put Bjorn together with Stenson. How about Graham McDowell and Rory? How about that?
Yeah, that would be good.
That'd be a good team.
Absolutely.
Well, it all gets underway Thursday, and
when do they draw? When they draw the picks?
Good question. I imagine the night before that, and then
they have the dinner.
I don't think they don't draw them for the whole week, though, do they? I think they.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure they don't because the captains decide sometimes to. I'm going to sit this guy for the afternoon matches, and so I think it's not till after each round that they repair them.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, if you want to get your tickets early, the 2016 Ryder Cup is back here in the U.S. at Hazeltine.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, subscribe and like the Finger Lakes Golfer podcast to make sure that we appear in your feed and you get all the newest episodes, especially when we go away for the winter. You're going to want to see us when we come back. You might forget about us, but right. If you subscribe, we'll pop right into your feed. So if you're watching us on YouTube, click the red button below that says subscribe. You can hook up with us on iTunes, on Stitcher.com. And perhaps one of the best ways to watch any of the Finger Lakes 1.tv programming is to download the free Finger Lakes 1.com app at the Android or Apple store. Search for it by name, Finger Lakes 1.com. It's free. You can listen to audio podcasts. You can watch the video podcast. You can watch live. You can watch all our shows live on that app. So that's probably the easiest way.
Mm-hmm.
So now let's get into the rest of the show and start it off with one of my favorite segments, with an update throwback from last week. Mm-hmm. It's time for Bobby's Pick of the Week.
Nice.
Bobby's Pick of the Week.
This week, the official 2014 Ryder Cup app at the iTunes app and Google Play stores. Follow the 2014 Ryder Cup with official Ryder Cup app. Follow along live scoring, complete with real-time commentary from players and analysts. Listen live radio broadcasts and receive hole-by-hole updates with our push alerts brought to you by European Tour, the PGA of America, and Turner Sports. And while you're at it, grab the FingerLakes1.com app while you are there.
While you're in the App Store, grab that one too.
Yep.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, the one thing about that that listeners maybe not picked up on is the live radio broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're driving in your car to work, maybe you got a commute on Thursday or Friday morning,
mm-hmm.
download this app, hook that up to your car, stereo, and listen to the live radio. And a lot of people say, golf on the radio, that's got to be terrible. But in a situation like this, Ryder Cup, you know, the descriptive radio broadcast can be, you know, all you really need to kind of get into it. And have you ever heard any golf on the radio like the Masters does it? And if you're on site at any PGA Tour event, they have PGA Tour radio. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the patrons buy these little headsets.
Yeah.
And so they kind of can hear what's going on around the course. But
if you have Sirius, they have a PGA Tour channel which you can listen to it, and it's done well. It's done very well. If you want to listen to events while you're driving, it's very descriptive, and it's I like it. It's done well.
Yeah, I mean, it's golf is a game, oddly enough, that you can really describe the action pretty well if you've mm-hmm. got a nice vocabulary.
Right.
So that's Bob's Pick of the Week. Now, I mentioned a throwback to last week. Bob, you've purchased last week's pick of the week, the Salty Grip Cork Putter Grip.
Yes.
And it arrived, and you have it right here in studio.
Yes, I do. It's right here, and this is what it looks like. Comes in a nice protective case. I'm going to install it this week, just in time for the weekend round.
So what... you mentioned there's some oddities about this, or some even some things you might do different. But one thing about this is, if your shaft is tapered, apparently you can't just slide it on. You got to do a little more work.
Right. Yeah. What they suggest is that if you have a tapered shaft, to build up the tape so you have a solid 0.6 inch throughout the whole length of the putter, or the grip. It's because the inside of the grip's not tapered, and I don't know if that's part of the manufacturing process that they can't do that. That the directions say you've got to... So it's a little bit more work to install than your standard grip.
And that thing's light.
Yeah, it's very light.
I mean, it's very like light. Almost feels like you're holding nothing.
Right, yep.
And you think that'll be an advantage?
I don't know. I don't know what it's going to do to the feel. We'll find out. I am going to install the grip with the flat side towards the target.
Which I thought was strange. I thought would think you would want the flat side away from the target so you could kind of lay your hand.
Yeah.
But you're saying the other way feels better to you.
It does.
Have you heard of anybody else doing that, or is that just kind of how you're feeling?
Well, the the larger grips, the Super Strokers. If you go on and look at the videos for those from the inventor.
Talking about those fat grips.
Yes, yeah. The fat grips. He suggests trying it different ways with the flat side to the rear or toward the front or on top. And just to see, you know.
What feels good for you.
Right.
Yeah, I have a Super Stroker on my putter, and once I had it on, I heard you mention that, and I was like, man, I would like it if this... I would put it flat towards my right hand.
Yeah.
And opposite the target. I just think I could feel like I could keep the thing square more, so...
Well, unfortunately, I viewed those videos after I put my grip on.
Yeah.
I have a Super Stroker on now, and I viewed them after the installation, so it was a little late to, and I was the same way. I was like, man, I wish I would have thought of that beforehand, because I probably would have just experimented a little bit.
Now, what size you got there? This mid-sized?
Yes, this is the mid-size. And they make one standard size, you know, smaller, and then they make two more sizes bigger than this.
Well, I'm going to have a few strokes with your putter once you get it on there. I just am kind of interested to see how that'll feel. But, hey, Bob LaPrade putting his money where his mouth is. It's pick of the week. He orders one. Mm-hmm. Or did they find out that it was your pick of the week and send you one?
No, they did not. But I'll have a report on how next week and the feel and the performance.
All right. We'll look forward to that in our season finale. And that brings us to our new segment. There's still a lot going on here around the region and area golf courses. It may be more than ever as we head into fall. I know it's been a busy September at Seneca Falls. There's been tons of tournaments and just play, really, mm-hmm. general play. I guess it kind of goes with how the weather is, but the New York Senior Am was held at Cedar Lake Golf Club. It's out near Utica last week, and Frank Plata out of Casanova Country Club overcame a three-stroke deficit with a final round 3-under par 69 to claim the 58th New York State Senior Amateur Championship last Thursday. Randy Young out of Bellevue Country Club claimed the Super Senior Division for players 65 and over with an 11-over 227 three-day total, so those titles are upstate. Both upstate.
Mm-hmm.
So congratulations to Frank and Randy. I mentioned some events around area courses. How about the SFCC Scratch Series two-man scramble on September 27th? That's this Saturday. Application and info at SenecaFallsCountryClub.com. $65 includes golf and cash prizes. Two-man scramble, the best way to play golf, if you ask me.
Yep.
Except for on your own ball, but right. I'm not a big fan of four-man scrambles, but two-man, that's a fun way to compete.
Yes, it is.
And if you feel the same way as I do, on Sunday of this week at Geneva, they have their Fall Invitational two-man scramble. $100 entry fee includes golf, lunch, and cash prizes. So, yeah, that's a common theme of this time of year is cash prizes.
Mm-hmm.
So just don't let the USGA find out or you're... lose your amateur status, which I think that's something that's an outdated rule.
Yeah, I think there's a limit on the prize money, too.
Yeah, so. I think you're right, so we're safe.
Yeah.
But one thing you do got to watch out for, and this is if you're a college player or a high school player, you got to be careful playing in these things. You can lose your eligibility.
I agree.
I've heard of it happening. Three-man scrambles are okay. I think. I really don't like four-man scrambles. Three-man, you can get me out there for that. And you can definitely find me at Dutch Hollow End Saturday, October 11th for their three-man, the final of their great series of tournaments that they run throughout the course of the season. $75 entry fee includes skins, lunch, and dinner. Lunch and dinner.
Nice.
And you play in Sixums. Great, great, great scramble course. And they really know how to get it done. Out there on Benson Road in Owasco. Holes in one this past week. Eric Dubel on September 16th at the 103. He aced the 135-yard 17th hole at Beaver Meadows using a pitching wedge. Kevin Delcour aced the 110-yard 8th hole at Victor Hills North using a 9-iron. Charlie Dolly used a 2-hybrid to score an ace on the 196-yard 4th at Clifton Springs. A 2-hybrid, Bob.
Yeah.
And Austin Orsini used a 7-iron to score a hole-in-one on the 158-yard 13th at Greystone.
Love that course.
You remember the 13th?
Yeah, I think I do.
What did you hit off of that tee? Any recollection? 158-yard?
6-iron, I believe. Well, that would be my distance for 158, yeah.
You should try a 7. It worked for Austin Orsini.
Yeah.
Send us your hole-in-ones to contact at fingerlakes1.com. Subject line, FLX Golfer. Also, send us any of the fall events that you have coming up. We'll read them all next week in our season finale. If your course has events going on in the month of October, you know, send them all over to us. contact@fingerlakes1.com. That's the number one. Use the subject line Finger Lakes Golfer to make sure it gets routed correctly to us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Bob, it's episode 15, which means it's also time for hole 15 of our Finger Lakes Dream 18. Hole number 15 of our Finger Lakes Dream 18 is hole number 15 at Reservoir Creek in Naples. It's a downhill par 4, 421 yards from the blues, 397 yards from the whites. An elevated tee affords a great view of the Naples Hills. And keep it in the fairway, another good birdie opportunity for you out there. And the reason I chose this hole is I haven't played Reservoir Creek. We got to get out there. Maybe over the next month, it'd be a great time with the foliage. It'd be amazing at this place because this is set in the hills of Naples. You can see by this photo I got up on the screen there, tons of scenic vistas.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was looking through, taking a little course tour online, the holes all seem like they're just placed into the natural terrain, and it's very hilly and undulating. And like this hole, for example, it's a big elevation change from tee to green. And I got a little closer shot here of the green, and you can kind of see there how it just feels like the greens and fairways were kind of dropped on the pre-existing, you know, land and terrain.
Mm-hmm.
And hole 15 is Reservoir Creek. That's our hole of the week here on the Dream 18.
Looks nice.
And boy, I think we should get out there. It's not from here. It's about an hour drive to Naples. Maybe not quite an hour.
It's nothing.
I think RCG, I can't remember the website. I should have it for you, but you search Reservoir Creek Golf Club in Naples and take the course tour yourself. And I tell you, you're gonna want to get out there. It's a unique looking course right here in the Finger Lakes. And that means that next week would be hole 16, but you know what's our season finale? So for next week's season finale, we're giving you 16, 17, and 18. So now would be the time to send us your suggestions at contact@fingerlakes1.com, subject line Finger Lakes Golfer, for what you think the best 16th hole in the Finger Lakes is, the best 17th hole, and best 18th hole, and then that's a wrap.
Mm-hmm.
When we come back next year, we can't do the Dream 18 segment anymore.
Right.
We've already given it. We can do like a respectable 18 or a runner-up 18, I guess. I don't know. I mean, do we do another 18?
Yeah. Yeah, we do.
You think so?
Yeah.
All right, well, there you have it, guys. But that'll be fun to round out the 18, and then maybe we'll publish the whole thing, you know, each hole, because I'm having trouble remembering what some of them were. I know we started at Ithaca Country Club.
Yes.
From there, it gets a little hazy. So, Bob, one more segment to go before we head on out here on a Monday night in the FingerLakes1.com studios. It's time for my favorite segment. It's our Zen Tip of the Week.
Zen Tip of the Week.
This week's Zen Tip of the Week will help you with overcoming self-sabotage. And this comes directly from a chapter in Dr. Joseph Parent's classic book, Zen Golf. And I will open up to that page right now. We normally don't just read from the book, but page 174. Oh, yeah, there we go. Overcoming Self-Sabotage is the title of this section. The nice thing about Zen Golf is it's just a series of short little sections, one after another, each with a different kind of thought or tip. And it's easy reading. You can sit down and read Zen Golf by Dr. Joseph Parent, you know, all at once, or you can just pick it up and read it for 5 minutes, 10 minutes here, and you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes there, and you can refer to it. I personally read it about 7 times, and everyone has comfort levels, Bob. They're the levels of performance or spheres of activity that are familiar to us, and we're comfortable with what is familiar. We're comfortable playing in the B flight. We're comfortable chasing the leader from behind. We're comfortable just making the cut. We're comfortable playing our usual game. Sabotage is the undermining of a project or mission. Self-sabotage doesn't make sense. Why would we undermine our own work to reach an important goal, like, say, breaking 80? Yet the decisions we make and the way we perform make it look like that's exactly what we're doing. But there's a twist. What looks like self-sabotage is actually self-protection. So another oxymoron in golf, I guess. What are we protecting ourselves from? Well, stress, anxiety, discomfort. We're protecting ourselves from leaving our comfort levels subconsciously. One day we're playing better than we ever have. Someone points out how well we're doing, and we immediately feel like we're playing over our head, and then we make 2 double bogeys in a row. Because it was unfamiliar territory, we became more careful. We tried extra hard because we didn't think our regular game was good enough to keep playing at that level. Being more careful and trying extra hard interferes with playing good golf. In other words, we were outside our comfort level and found a way to get back as quickly as we could, subconsciously. Mm-hmm. Trying to break 80 is something we're familiar with, but shooting in the 70s isn't. So we're about to break 80 for the first time, needing only a 5 on the last hole when we hit our drive off the map, take two to get near the green, chili dip a chip, 3-putt for a 7. That way we get to keep on trying, you know, an activity that's frustrating but familiar, and it's stressful even just to think about it after you do that. Then you got to try to break 75. So,
right.
On the club championship, you're poised to win the B flight. And then you hit your drive on the last hole out of bounds and lose by a stroke. We know the guys in the B flight and get to keep being one of the best B golfers. That's a lot more comfortable than being the low man on the totem pole with the hot shots of the A flight. comfort levels involve expectations, some real, some imagined. If you shoot a particularly low score, you might think that everyone will expect you to play from that level from now on. Imagining the future expectations of golf partners and club members can create sufficient anxiety for a golfer to come apart at the seams in the last few holes. So, self-sabotage. It's one of these things you do to yourself that you don't even realize you're doing. And, you know, I do it a lot. I've seen you do it before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it's something we all do. And I think that one of the things that separates the best golfers that we play with is that they're kind of over that. But then again, they have their own comfort level. You know, the best golfers are comfortable playing at that level. But when they start to go low, you know, and get down into the 60s and think about maybe shooting their best score or their course record or meddling in this tournament or whatever it might be, they self-sabotage themselves too.
Right. Yeah.
So the Zen tip of the week is, how do you overcome, you know, self-sabotage? So I'll just read a little bit further here. What can we do to prevent self-sabotage? The first step is to recognize it. Use the body scan, which is a technique that Parent describes earlier in the book. It's just it's kind of breathing exercise and feeling yourself, becoming aware of your body from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. It's just something that you can do, and I'll leave that to you reading the book. But use this body scan to observe your body and awareness practice to observe your thoughts. First, notice how much tension you're feeling and see if the level of anxiety is disproportionate to the difficulty of the shot you face. You may have added extra meaning to the situation that raises the stakes and invites self-sabotage. Next, notice your impulses. Do you feel the urge to get the shot over with? Do you feel like it's all too much and you don't care what happens? Does the shot you've chosen suggest delusions of grandeur? These are all indicators that there's a self-sabotage effort afoot. When you recognize the symptoms, you can apply remedies. Describe the circumstances to yourself in a different way. Think of a 5-foot putt as just what it is, a ball 5 feet of grass in the hole, rather than a 5-foot putt for your second birdie in a row. Focus on your routine, on the process rather than results. Use your breathing to gently settle yourself and connect with this, your center of gravity. Zen, 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 zen.
Mm-hmm.
Basically what I'm hearing is, you know, develop a solid pre-shot routine. And, you know, that's one reason why you have a good pre-shot routine, because you can, in these pressure situations or these situations where you traditionally will self-sabotage yourself, that pre-shot routine will eliminate all thoughts except the shot at hand, because when you start your pre-shot routine, there should be nothing in your mind except the process.
Mm-hmm.
And Rory McIlroy even mentioned it after winning the PGA. The Open Championship. I think he said, and the PGA. I think he said this after winning the PGA was that, you know, he just tried to focus on the process. You know, every shot, not thinking about winning the second major in a row, not thinking about being number one in the world, not thinking about blowing the tournament or winning the tournament, just focusing on the process that he takes when he hits shots. I mean, do you have any indicators when you're out there and you're having, like for instance, during the Club Championship qualifier, you birdied 3 holes in a row and then you made a great up and down on 12 and then things fell apart a little bit, but you were playing as good during that 4-hole stretch as you, you know, I mean, that was it. There was no reason for you to stop playing that good, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 3 birdies in a row, 9, 10, 11. And then you hit a bad wedge shot that gave you a real difficult bunker shot that you got up and down for par. And I think that there must have been some self-sabotage. Like, you must have said to yourself, there's no way I can keep this up. But, or maybe you even said, geez, now I've put myself in a real good spot, you know?
Yeah, I mean, for me to reflect on it, I can't pick any moment when we were going to the 13th tee or that I said something or the other to myself to maybe self-sabotage myself. But what I thought was important in that first paragraph you read was one of the key words that was repeated several times was comfort.
Right.
And I think that's for any golfer, regardless of your level of play, you're going to reach a zone that's not comfortable for you at one time or another. And how you handle that, I think, is important mentally to you know, realize that maybe you aren't comfortable, and how do you deal with that? I've been in that situation before where I've stood on the 18th tee, and our 18th tee, you know, you can't hit it left.
No, that would be out of bounds. Yeah.
And you either you know your score or you don't, but you know if you get a par or a birdie, you shoot your low or you tie your low. And I've done it where I've put 2 balls out of bounds, or at least my first one out of bounds. And instead of thinking that, I should have been thinking, where do I need to place this ball to give me a higher percentage of being successful on this hole? And,
yeah, you think about your target. That's mm-hmm. one way to get over when you're out of your comfort zone is to don't think. The natural thing to do is think about all the things that can go wrong, mm-hmm. all the bad places you can hit it. But what you really should be focusing on is the place you want to hit it, and that's it.
Yeah.
And then hit it there.
And to the viewers out there, the worst thing you can do to a guy who's playing well is tell him.
Yeah.
Don't even mention it. You know, it's like that pitcher that's having a no-hitter, no one's sitting next to him on the bench, right? You know, everybody
that's right.
stays away from him.
That's a good point.
Don't ruin the mojo. Don't get them thinking, you know.
Yeah.
Try to help them keep their mind out of it.
Yeah, congratulate the good shots, mm-hmm. you know, but don't say, you know, wow, you know, this is the best I've ever seen you play. What's your score?
Right. I've had it happen to me before, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you finish 17 or you finish 16 and someone goes, oh, wow, you're just on fire. You're probably going to shoot the lowest score you ever shot. And that's
if you just don't make a 9 here.
Right. Right, yeah. So do your buddies a favor. If they're not your buddy, I guess, you know, do what you got to do.
Yeah, that could be a little gamesmanship, too. You know, you're playing a match against a couple guys, and one of the guys is beating you up and just having a great day. And you can say, man, you played great today. You know, you usually play this good.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, Bob, that brings us towards the end of episode 15. Play fall golf, people. It's a beautiful time of the year. We might have, you know, a month and a half of golf left. A couple years ago, we played into November.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that can happen. And, you know, next week we'll be back for the season finale, hoping to get a guest lined up for you. We don't have anything definite to report, but we want to focus on maybe some things you can do over the winter, you know, to either improve your equipment or maintain your equipment, and things you can do to keep that swing going throughout the winter and work on your game in the winter. And so that should be a pretty good episode. But, you know, any parting shots, Bob? Ryder Cup prediction, maybe?
No prediction. I think the European team's really, really strong. And they're playing on their home turf, I guess.
They are.
And, you know, I'm going to root for USA and see what happens.
Yeah, I predict a win. Tom Watson's had success in Scotland as of late. And I think the way that the whole balance of power in golf is now, that I don't think that you necessarily are going to see anybody dominate for too many consecutive Ryder Cups. So the Europeans have two. It's probably time for the U.S. to win. And, you know, honestly, I would bet that the television executives would like to see a U.S. win to kind of stoke that rivalry, yeah, coming back to Hazeltine in 2016. And so I'm going to go with the U.S. That's my official pick. I'm going to put myself out there. So what, next Monday night when we're back, this will be just one day removed from the final, so we'll obviously talk about the Ryder Cup as well as all the other things I just mentioned. And I hope that you all had a great time hanging out with us for the past hour for episode 15 of the Finger Lakes Golfer Podcast. Just one episode left for the season, and that's next Monday night at 9 p.m. Until then, hit 'em long, not often.
Great local content like this by becoming a patron of FingerLakes1.com. Visit patreon.com/FL1. FingerLakes1.com.